All right, today's video game on the modded cabinet is Bucky O'Hare, the Konami beat 'em up.
Oh wow! Yeah, I saw this splash screen and I was like, oh, I remember the NES game. I didn't remember.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that they made a beat 'em up. And it's, if you like X-Men, Simpsons, and Turtles, which are all some of the best, this is just more in line with that. And I thought to play it because I was like, oh yeah, isn't there an arcade version of it? Because I remember the NES game too. And in my opinion, the NES game is too hard and too bullshit. Mm-hmm. And but so we played this, Gloria and I, and she got way into it. And then I was like, was there an animated series or what? And I looked into it for a minute. And I think the goal was to do an animated series with a toy line and the whole recipe. And then for some reason they didn't do it, or like it didn't get greenlit, and they released the 6 episodes or whatever they made on VHS only. So they did make an animated series, but it was VHS only.
Yeah. And I think this was one of those times where they would get all the toys in production, the video games in production, and like in hopes of launching it. And yeah. I guess it was just a failure to start, but I remember the NES game came out. So,
I watched a really good YouTube documentary the other day about the making of Star Wars Shadows of the Empire.
Oh, really?
For those who don't know, Shadows of the Empire was this thing that came right before the Star Wars special edition, the original trilogy special edition in the 90s. There was a big resurgence of Star Wars in the 90s from Lucasfilm, before the prequels. And they had this idea of like, what if we did a release that was everything except for a movie? So, you know, like if you have all these movie tie-ins, you have music, you have toys, you have Happy Meals, you have video games. Like, what if we just did all that shit, but it was a novel instead of a, you know, spending a ton of money on a new movie? And that's what they did. Oh, and comic books too. So yeah, I according to the documentary, it was regarded as like a movie release without a movie, which I find fascinating.
That is fascinating because I remember seeing those toys in the Toys R Us and being like, is that a movie? Is that going to happen? What is that? And I bought some of them, like the Chewbacca with the flat top And then the video game, of course, was amazing. Like, I remember playing that game, and of course, at the time, I was like, "This is realistic." Like, this is, and you hear the music playing, and you're like, "I'm in the Star Wars." that was probably the first time I felt that. I know there was other games like Dark Forces and TIE Fighter and stuff, but I think that was the first one where it really hit me.
No, totally, because Dark Forces was basically Doom, and you know, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. Those are cool games, but they were still kind of like flight simulator. You know, this, they didn't, to me, they weren't like Star Wars. Like you're in the movie, you have the big movie sound and stuff. There's a pretty good 32X Star Wars game. Again, it was a flight simulator. But yeah, I agree. And I read the book before I did anything else. Like I got the N64 game later. And the book was like, at least when, you know, fifth grade Frankie thought it was pretty, like a pretty good telling of, because it takes place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. But there is some really weird elements to it. There's a guy in there named, he's like the villain of the piece. His name is Prince Shizor. He runs the criminal underworld and he's running afoul of Darth Vader. He's trying to get into the good graces of the Emperor, who, as we all know, might have been a clone during that period. And
I don't know. I'm pretty unsure about when he was a clone.
Well, you just need to read more of these Screen Rant and WeGotThisCovered.com articles about them. but
I probably wasn't until after he was dead.
I don't think anybody fucking knows. I think Favreau is going to try to make sense of it all, piece it all together. Okay. But anyway, this Prince Shizor guy, he was like this green dude with this like kind of samurai hair braid thing.
I definitely had the action figure.
Yeah.
I have no idea what he was all about though.
Yeah. He ran Black Sun, which was like a crime aggregate. And he had pheromones. His species had pheromones. It was definitely the first time in my life that I read the word pheromone. I probably didn't know how to pronounce it. It was one of those things you just read and you're like, what? And, there's this super weird scene where Leia and Chewie go undercover as bounty hunters. That's why Chewie looks that way. to have a meeting with this guy or something. And he ends up like, he starts to have sex with Princess Leia, like in the middle of the book. So this like kid's book. And like, it goes pretty far. Like there's, it's a lot more explicit than anything you've ever seen in Star Wars. That's for sure.
Interesting.
It's really weird. That always stuck with me. And then Chewie breaks the door down and like saves her.
I see.
But,
before the, that was, that the, was the one green those... penetration.
Yeah. Super strange. I remember right around that same time, I was reading a lot, like when you're in fifth grade, like, so I was like 10 or 11, you can kind of read and, you know, you can read novels, but you can't necessarily absorb them. Mm-hmm. And I got it in my head, or I think a friend suggested that I read the sequel to Forrest Gump, because I hadn't even read the original Forrest Gump novel, which is such a departure from the movie. The movie is such like a saccharine adaptation of, you know, it's like a kind of a wild book, honestly. But yeah, I remember the sequel was called Gump and Company. And actually, no, it was the original novel, the original Forrest Gump, where I was like, oh, this would be cool. I've seen the movie. Where there's like an explicit sex scene with him and Jenny. And I'm, it's like, we did everything that day, up against the wall, on the ceiling, in the refrigerator. Like it goes on about like all the ways they fucked. And I remember being like very scandalized by that as well.
Yeah. And it's like in the movie, they just like cut away somewhere. And then, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. They
Jenny,
do a whip pan.
Jenny gets AIDS later or something, or had right. AIDS at the time. I don't remember.
Hepatitis.
Oh,
I believe it was. And is it the Sixth Sense kid? Is this kid at the end? I think?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Haley Joel Osment. Well, anyway, I didn't expect to talk about all that, but Bucky O'Hara is a great beat 'em up. It's a way better video game than the NES classic.
Wait, check it out. I'm gonna segue with something I got in the mail today.
Yeah, go.
It's this.
Holy shit.
Doesn't that look great? I love this.
That's a wonderful thing.
Like that button.
Wait a minute, is that your modded one?
Yeah, this is the modded one. So it's supposed to have light up buttons.
I've started writing the script to my arcade video.
Oh, awesome.
It goes deep, man. It's like I just can't stop writing.
That's great.
I just keep being like, oh, and then, but, you know, of course, it's a mono speaker underneath that. So the only way you could convert to USB is blah, blah, blah. And it shouldn't touch the metal. And I'm just going too deep.
That's good. Yeah. And I got the Raspberry Pi. It's kind of funny. Like I'm reading like the specs on this Raspberry Pi. And I was like, I think the computer, because I've been doing some side work for my father-in-law in his machine shop.
Oh, nice.
And he was like, hey, can you look at my computer? I'm like, I think this Raspberry Pi has like the same specs as that huge desktop computer from like 10 years ago.
Yeah, so, that's crazy.
It's like, how far we have gone.
Yeah, it's like a $60, $70 computer.
Yeah, and you know, it has 4 gigabytes of RAM and, you know.
And it runs billions of retro games flawlessly.
And a quad port. Yeah, this is better than his computer there.
I don't think we've talked on the pod about your aspirations to have the arcade cabinets, did we?
No. Last time I was like, I could never have that. And I was like, maybe I could have it.
Yeah, well, the scarcity, but when you realize that if you did want one, you couldn't necessarily get one is the thing that drives you.
And everybody online kind of jumps in on that too. Like, they'll post on the subreddits like, oh, there's like Street Fighter arcades. I haven't seen these in a while. And you're like, I guess I have to get it.
you see a post from some guy who's like, I just came across a TMNT for $160. And you're like, you fucking asshole.
Yeah. I would have one. Yeah. I know. Those are the worst. So, I think Street Fighter 2 screams arcade to me. The problem is I don't have a place to put it right now because, like most marriages, things that I get are banished to the basement. So I have to clear a space for
it. The good news is it does not take up that much space.
Yeah, I know. It's true, but it's not allowed anywhere that's not the basement.
So the basement must be really cluttered, I guess.
Yeah, it's just a dump, and I want to make it into a nice place. I want to put I actually want to clear a place for a desk, and I want to put basically a mini studio in there.
Nice.
So and have these arcades be the much like the backdrop, but I also saw this sign on eBay that was, it said beer and barbecue and like a neon, like a, you'd see in the window of a sleazy barbecue place, I guess. And I thought that would be great for my show, beer and barbecue and like the neon, you know, those old neon lights.
Yeah.
And put that in the background, get some of that foam core stuff, put it around.
I'm in.
I was gonna cut out a poster board pig ghost and put it in the background. I think that would be fun. I'm gonna, because like this is why I'm wearing this blanket all the time in our podcast. If you're watching this on video, I always have this weird blanket and I look like strange. Well, it's because I'm on my three season porch right now, because it's the only place where I can talk without disturbing anybody.
Yeah.
And it's not insulated, so it's fairly cold. So I have to have my blanket on. I can't have a studio out here. It's just, one, it's too cold. And we haven't really decorated it because we don't use it, because it's always cold in New England. Why do we have these rooms? So I'm gonna make a space downstairs, a little studio, a little desk, so I can be productive. So that's
what. Well, I got in a piece of technology myself. As promised by you, look, the G9 I went out and I bought a label maker property over at Calendar Tim.
Hey, yeah, but you know what? I'm going to go over there, play some arcades, and we can label mine.
Yeah,
too.
We'll label some shit. I spent some time with it to make sure it had all the autofocus that I could stand. I think this weekend, Matt was like, do you want to do anything? And I was like, yeah, maybe we should shoot those unboxings at long last, because there's a lot of stuff to unbox. I mean, it's I'm actually like sort of overwhelmed by it.
Oh yeah,
I think it's like 12 boxes or something.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like it could be like 2 months of content of just unboxing this shit.
Yeah, but do unboxings do as well as regular box max?
No, but they don't do a lot worse.
Okay.
Like if the average box max shoots up to 2000, they'll hang out at like 1200.
I see.
I mean, it's all short money.
True. True. I'm just, you know,
but
I'm more thinking about what people can tolerate in a row.
I think the unboxings are good in terms of like making it feel as though we're pretty well connected with fans. That's what made it weird to be like, don't send anything in. And sure enough, because we released a video last week saying what the new schedule is and all that for those who missed it. And I did, a few people reached out and were like, but I already bought a box and I just hadn't sent it yet. Can I just send it anyway? And I'm like, all right. God damn it.
Already sent?
Send the last of your fucking boxes quickly. Yeah.
And then somebody was like, can I send you barbecue sauce? We got some barbecue sauce.
Well, your unboxing was fun. That was a different kind of content.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was fun to do.
It was funny.
Yeah, and there were like those two segments in there were like filmed like a month apart because I was playing the first one to be its own video, and then like it took me too long to get it together to edit that one, and I wanted to finish the ham video before that because Christmas was coming.
Yeah.
And then I got another box. I was like, I'll just combine them all, and that's fine.
Well, we did release that video with the sort of bad news, quote unquote, we're going to, schedule things not every Sunday, and it went super well. People received it really, really well. Tons of support for that idea. A few really funny comments. One guy was like, I trust that this small Frankie is going to do well by us. Yeah,
that was this really mysterious small Frankie.
Like, it's just like, I'm some new guy. I was 201 this morning, so we're very close to under 200 pounds, which is pretty awesome.
A speed run when they like break
like negative something. Yeah.
Yeah. They break those barriers and they're just like, finally, he broke the 200 barrier.
I watched like a very scandalous speedrunner documentary the other day about this guy who was like a known cheater. And then he broke like the Japanese Mario 2 record way too fast. And he hadn't screen capped it. It was like a camera on a TV. And he hadn't like met the criteria for proving that it was a real thing, but like they couldn't disprove it was real. And it was like somewhat of a scandal.
Hmm. You know? Yeah. There's a lot of those.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, like technology is getting so good. It's like you could just pretend you're playing and have a perfect run, you know?
Totally. Totally. But as of that video, and as of we posted the Christmas one publicly, the Christmas New Year's one publicly, we've gotten like, I don't know, probably like 7 or 8 new patrons. So welcome. We hope we don't let you down for $2 a month. You're going to get what you paid for sure.
Yeah. We're just going to talk and talk and talk.
You're going to get like, yeah, for $2 a month, you're going to get something like 4 hours of us talking.
Yeah. That's not bad.
That's 50 cents an hour.
Yeah. So there you go. It's a deal. It's a bargain.
What a bargain. But thank you. No, it's the Patreon is pretty awesome. You know, on that same note, actually, I want to talk about this. I've gone far deeper into Cinemassacre Truth than last
time. Oh, people like the segment. We'll keep going.
Well, the head slob. his name is Justin Silverman. He's like, I guess, the content producer at Cinemassacre now via Screenwave. He did an AMA, a Reddit Ask Me Anything, on the Cinemassacre Truth board. You know, this place where all they do is shitpost. All they do is call this guy fat. All they do is say that he ruined everything. And is that like a whole wiki of memes about him and stuff. And he went in there and said, Ask Me Anything. And he monitored it for 7 days. And he kept coming back and answering every question best he could. And some of them were pretty transparent. I mean, I think, first of all, the guy handled himself like a pro.
Yeah.
He inspired me. Where I was like, this dude, like, he went in there knowing exactly how bad he was going to be made fun of.
He went into the lion's den.
He just did it. And nothing fazed him. He laughed along with everything, but not too much. You know, still like being like, yeah, fuck, like, you know, me and the other slobs, thanks for that, by the way. You know, yeah. Like,
it's like, this is the last time I'm going to be referencing myself as the slobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he admitted that slob zombie was really funny. Because the truth is he's a fat nerd who found himself making content for Angry Video Game Nerd. He's a shit poster too. He's of this ilk.
Mm-hmm. You know? He knows what he is.
He's no dummy. But he actually turned a lot of the attitudes around very quickly, where people were like, this is really cool of you to do this. I have a question. And then they would hit him with some, you know, I could give you sort of like the top 7 or 8 things that were asked. Among them were people are outraged that the Angry Video Game Nerd's new shirt is too like, it's got like weird shoulder shit and buttons, and they're just outraged by that. But more than anything, they were saying like, hey, if James has lost the passion here, if you're in fact the one making all the content, shouldn't you just retire the character? Shouldn't you, you know, aren't you just milking a dead cow at a certain point? Excuse me. I've had this thing all night where I've got this, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, where you have to clear your throat, but clearing your throat triggers a hiccup. And so you can't actually, it's just the short guy stuff, I think, maybe. Anyway, so the root beer will help, I'm sure.
That makes me want to drink some water.
His answer was, I see your points about the content suffering. I see your point about how James doesn't seem as invested in it. This next year, you know, COVID was really hard on everybody. Ended up becoming a meme. COVID's hard on everybody. He really would not address anything about money and anything about James' time, because they make fun of James for not having time for anything. which made me extremely self-conscious about any time on this pod where we've been like, man, we're busy and we can't do this, that, and the other. I'm like, oh shit, they're gonna get on to us. But it's just not comparable, folks. We have full-time jobs and we output him by a large stretch. But he was like, I'm gonna schedule things better in the following year. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna like, I tried to pack in too much content in a single day, and that was the issue. And but yeah, it was quite something to see. I don't know, such a disruption to normal affairs in a space like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's real. I respect him for doing that. It does seem like that it is kind of just they just commoditize Cinemasker basically. And then,
they're a content mill for NordVPN and Raid Shadow Legends. That's what it is. That's what, and it's unfortunate, but true. It's a cash cow. Like, it's an established character. It's an established show. There's a lot of young people who watch it who don't know the difference between good things and bad things and don't care anyway. And they ride the algorithm pretty well, where they stay away from the kinds of obscenity that would get you demonetized. And truly, it's a content mill.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like front. It's like a front for NordVPN. and James makes. I mean, my understanding is like we're talking about like a $2 million company here, something like that.
Yeah, might as well.
He only has to share 20% of that with them. And he just
it's a no brainer, especially if you're not really into it, but you still like money. Why not?
But it's just so apparent that that's the case to anybody
who's been there for a while.
And so,
but if you're a sucker, why not?
This Reddit ends
get
up
the suckers.
This Reddit ends up being the most hysterical place to hang out because like it's such a deep cut.
It's like, everyone is in on the joke and it's really fun.
There was this whole thing with Mike Matei. Mike Matei was James's college friend who encouraged him to originally upload Angry Video Game Nerd and then went on to do the streaming stuff. And he did the Let's Play series for 8 years with him. And really, you can probably say that Mike is the reason that Cinemassacre like stayed afloat and existed in the first place, frankly, in a YouTube capacity. Mm-hmm. Like and he was there doing behind the scenes for all the early episodes and stuff. So he's really an important character in the whole thing. And recently James did like a state of the channel video and he announced like, oh, and by the way, like Mike's leaving. Bye. Like we wish him luck. It's super weird. I mean, all it does is call attention to, like how hard would it have been to take another 60 seconds and be like, Mike has been instrumental in this channel. He's been with us since day one. We're going to stay in touch. Just a little something extra.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine if like all of a sudden John came on and was like, Frankie's not here anymore. Let's wish him luck.
Yeah. That's a pretty good analogy actually.
And like a bunch of slobs take your place.
It's that fucking ridiculous. That's actually what it is. So now everybody thinks on that board thinks of Mike as like a hero. But before that, Mike was this kind of cretin to them. Like he's had like a number of indiscretions at this point. He did this really racist cartoon that was meant to be in this kind of, shock comic kind of thing. And it was called Loco Bandidos. And that surfaced and that, in fact, the Reddit members, they call themselves Locos Bandidos.
Yeah, that's their little image.
They are the Locos Bandidos. He takes photos of himself and tweets them. He likes Coca-Cola memorabilia, and he always takes a photo of himself with Coke, and he says, fuck, I love Coke. But he also is never well rested. He always has dark circles under his eyes. And so everybody's always taking those photos and putting in, fuck, I love Coke.
I have dark circles under my eyes. So I can.
Yeah, but you don't tweet regularly, fuck, I love Coke. but then most notably, Mike There was a meme in the early days of Cinemassacre where when he appeared on screen, he had a big bulge in his pants and people started talking about how like Mike Matei has a big dick was like the joke. And one drunken night in 2015 or so, when James was making the movie, he posted on with the official Cinemassacre account, he posted a pornographic image of a 10 inch erect penis with a, it's important to note, a green measuring tape, and it showed it to be 10 inches. And if you've ever seen a really huge cock, it's got that kind of that weirdness around the neck where it doesn't kind of plump out. It's sort of like, it looks more like kind of like a thinning sword. Anyway. So he posted that with
I don't know how to respond to that, but
you don't have to. You just sit there and get hot.
Good thing I'm on my three season porch.
Yeah, good thing. And so I guess he posted it with something like just to put this to rest or something like that. And then everybody was like, what the fuck? And he took it down, and the mods on the official Cinemassacre site started to, they took down any reference to it. They really tried to bury this thing. And, you know, posting your penis on an official board is insane. And so he deserves all the shit that he takes. However, it was discovered about a month ago that somebody finally did a reverse image lookup. You can do this in Google. You can take an image and be like, where did this come from? And it's not his penis. It's some other, he must've Googled like 10 inch dick and posted it. And in that context, it's not wise. He probably still was drunk. He probably still wasn't thinking, because at the end of the day, it's still a work account and it's a pornographic image. But I think, you know, then again, this is a channel that makes very vulgar content and very, you know, does like some shock humor and stuff. I think what he was doing was playing into the meme. He found some huge dick online and was like, hey, this is me. And that was the joke. Very different in my view from being like, here is my real dick and I'm not kidding around.
Yeah, but it is unwise. And the fact that he didn't like address it right away, being like, okay, I'm deleting that. That was a joke.
It's super easily explained is the thing. Yeah. Even if people are like, all right, dude, like, you know, you don't know how to meme around here. Yeah. Like we don't want to see.
Cause like the silence makes it sound like it was his.
Yeah. And this is, maybe this is the problem with like, you know, sometimes I feel like when there are indiscretions by companies or, you know, whatever, the fact that they don't like just like come out and try to defend themselves to some degree, instead they're like, let's just go quiet and we'll try to make it go. It's like in the internet age, it does not work.
No, nope.
I mean, I guess maybe from their perspective, it does. Maybe if they've got 5 million followers and 4.7 million of them have no idea, but 300,000 do, it's like, well, maybe you take the hit, you take the 10 inch hit. But somebody posted a poll that was like, what's your favorite Mike Matei indiscretion? And it was, they listed like 7 things out. And I just found that so funny. This guy who has fucked up his own image so many times that you're like, hey guys, what's your favorite? Like to the point where it's now affectionate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a hero on that subreddit. I've always found him off-putting.
Yeah, but now he's like an OG compared to these slobs.
I mean, true.
Yeah, I guess he loves McDonald's, and he talks about that on the streams a lot. So they call him Mick Matei. and he said that he's because they were like, you're not going to make money streaming on your own, and he was like, he said I think he owned part of Cinemassacre, and I think he bought out and or sold his share or whatever. And he said, I'm basically retired now, like at 40.
Wow.
And so now they're making jokes about Mick Matei and his Mick Mansion.
I mean, you know, he seems like a hard worker, at least. Hard streamer.
A hard streamer, yes.
Hard streamer now.
The poll, you know, obviously it's kind of stupid, but or not applicable to us, but it did make me think. I was like, there's all these polling things that you see, you know, you can do a poll on YouTube, you can do a poll on Reddit, on Twitter, whatever. And I'm like, now that we're in a space where we've got like 10 ideas at any given time for a video, it's just kind of a question of like, which one to work on next. It might be fun to be like, hey, like I'm open to working on one of these three in the next month. Like, which one would you want to see the most?
Yeah, I think I see those all the time in like the YouTube community board there. Just pop one on, see what happens. See what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that too. It could be like, hey, camera view, ribs.
Yeah. Basically, it'd be saying like, I'm going to make all these videos. Which one do which one would you want to see?
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you this, or I think I did on Slack, but our Reddit was originally set up by fans, and it's still modded by fans, but they were kind enough to give us mod privileges just so we could at least, like, you know, if something happened, we wouldn't lose the Reddit. And I realized, I don't know how so much time went by without me noticing this, but like the Reddit was very underdeveloped. Like, there was no icon for the profile pic. There was the scheme wasn't even a red color scheme.
Yeah.
So yeah, I spruced it up some.
Yeah, I saw that. It's good. Looks good. Looks
now you're at Red
Cat. Has some branding. Yeah, it was kind of like a very low tier underdeveloped Reddit before. Yeah,
that's not my style.
I wasn't going to change it, so I'm glad you did. I wasn't going to step up. I usually think of those spaces for fans, but yeah, if they're not stepping up, why not?
Right. I can talk about my laptop a little bit. This laptop that I'm recording this on, it has a defect. It's a 2018 MacBook Pro. The keys come out of it after a while. The keys start to fall the fuck off. It takes about a year of heavy use and the keys will fall out. And it happened once in 2019. And one of the keys fell out and I was on the bus and I was like, it was sandwiched between me and the next seat. And the key fell out and I didn't know it. And I closed it and it cracked the screen.
Oh.
And I had to spend, it was a work computer. So work paid for it, but it was a $700 repair. When if I had just noticed the key problem, they fixed that for free. And so I could have just gotten the key thing fixed.
It's a scam.
For
scam.
Fuckers.
I bought AppleCare and they're like, it covers everything but the screen. And like, I cracked the screen. I was like, you motherfuckers.
Like, I can't believe I paid for this bullshit.
Yeah, it's like you pay, it's not cheap, you know? So yeah. It's like you get this Apple Care and you expect Apple to care.
They do not.
They do not. So I
was like, I think I'll, because it started happening again and it's just intolerable. Like, editing video with keys falling out is just, which is what I had to do during Halloween and Christmas and stuff. So I said, Christmas break, like, I'll be between projects and I won't be at work. I'll bring it to the Apple store and I'll hope for the best. I'm going to have to part with my computer for a few days, which is hard for me, but I was going to do it, damn it. And I made the dumb ass mistake of, I just showed up to an Apple store and I don't have an Apple store near me. It's the closest is in the Providence Place Mall. And I showed up there and there were like security guards basically. And they were like, they were hassling this other woman. And they were like, you have to go over there to the signs. And the signs were like, you need to have an appointment and we can't promise it'll be same day. And the guy was like, yeah, sorry. They're like 8 days out. And she was like, I just need to know. She was like a 65-year-old woman. She's like, I just got this Apple Watch. I just need to know how to take the band off of it real quick. And they were like, you got to make an appointment eight days.
Oh man.
And it's easy enough for me, but there's a special Apple support app that you have to use in order to do this. And like, she has no idea where to start with the shit, like verifying that it really is your device and stuff and whatever. I was able to make an appointment 2 days later. So like, I went home, came back, I came back with Glow and, it's fixed for free. They replaced the whole thing. Wow. They shipped it to my house, which was nice. And Glow and I went to Dave and Buster's, which was actually super fun. You can waste $70 in that place, like just like that. But it was still really fun.
What kind of games did you play? I remember going there and being kind of not recently, but a couple of years ago, and being like, the games kind of felt samey, like all very much different skins.
They definitely are, but for a 3-year-old, it's all pretty magical.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, you know, and they have the restaurant area where she can have some Mac and I can have some nachos. And so it was a pretty good time. But
I definitely had fun when I was there, but it was, I don't know, it wasn't as magical because I'm a cynical adult.
Yeah. Right. it was just like that round one place that popped up everywhere. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
It's even the same machines. There's that gigantic Space Invaders Frenzy, it's called, where they have it's just Space Invaders, but bigger, louder, more colorful, with shaky guns. They had one really cool. It was like a flight simulator where you're flying. You go into a dome and it's like 360 degrees, or I guess 180 degrees of like airspace, and you steer the ship and you shoot other things down. And it was pretty damn realistic. And like, it does give you vertigo and stuff, which I thought was kind of fun.
I played like a Star Wars game or something there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think on the other side of it, I meant to go to the Star Wars one and I ended up in the fighter pilot one. It was all right. Yeah. It was, she won 7 or 8 stupid little things from the prize store and she loved that. And now she comes up to me and says, "Daddy, can we go to the arcade now?" She goes, "Can we go right now?"
We're going right now.
And I'm always like, "Glo, I bought a fucking arcade downstairs so that we can go to the arcade right now."
It's right here.
So now I try to make this room into a Dave and Buster's kind of environment where like we can play any games we want here. We'll play Pac-Man, we'll play Space Invaders. And I put like kids Megamix party, dance party music with lights on the TV. And we turn it way up and we just make the whole place shake with like music and we play games. It's super fun.
I saw you put some like rope lights up or something, right?
Can't really see them in the current angle, but they're right here. They go down that way. Yeah, it looks cool.
A little arcade, a little Dave and Buster's,
a little Frank and Gloucesters.
I've been watching more Star Wars Rebels and it's pretty fun. It's like, it's definitely got filler, but once it gets to like the Darth Maul stuff, it's really cool. And I think that's like Dave Filoni's thing, where you start off with some characters that like are original, basically, and then he starts seeding in stuff that you recognize, but does it in a way that makes sense for the story.
Isn't it reasonable to assume that Darth Maul will be a part of this Obi-Wan Kenobi thing?
I would assume, because that's you have to. Right?
Well, yeah, because in Rebels he kills him like 5 years before A New Hope, and this I think takes place like 10 years before it or something.
Yeah.
Did you get to the part where Darth Maul gets on his knees in the desert and he goes, "Kenobi"?
No, not yet.
It's amazing.
He just found out where like Kenobi is.
Yeah.
He like got like some magical artifacts, which you have to do in these shows, and found his location.
Fucking hell.
get some video game progression. God. even in this show.
I enjoy a video game, but goddamn.
Yeah. They had to get two artifacts and slap them together. The characters are fun. Like Ezra, I think, is pretty cool. Well, what I like about the show is because there's basically like, Ezra, he's sort of force sensitive, but he's pretty much like Luke, like in the beginning, where he has to like really try to use the force, which I really like. And then like he meets a closeted Jedi, and he becomes his Padawan. And I think that's a really interesting dynamic, is seeing that relationship form where you have this, even the master's kind of reluctant and doesn't know if he can be a good master. And then you have the apprentice, which, is building up strength, and then their interaction and their with each other and being, I think that's just a really compelling story, where you see them becoming competent with one another. And
It feels like at this point they've told a lot of stories about sort of child or teen survivors of Order 66, like, because that Jedi or whatever that game that I played did the same exact thing, and then Rebels is big into it, and then of course Grogu is in that situation. So like,
yeah,
they could almost start to put together like a cool like cohort of like survivors.
Yeah. It's the interesting thing is like, Ezra was born on the day the Empire formed, which is, so he had, his birthday is Empire Day, which is what it just kind of has this. It's kind of like this. It's a really interesting story beat. I thought it was really like, because his parents were against the Empire, and then they were like captured when he was young, and they were like in prison for most of his life. So it's just very interesting. So he resented the Empire, and then that was his birthday. That's a good story beat.
Yeah, that's good.
It's really good.
There's a rumor that they're working right now on phasing out the sequel characters at the parks, and
they should.
And they're gonna just do Mandalorian characters, like Mandalorian timeline for that same park.
I
don't think Rey and Kylo and Poe are like doing anybody any favors.
No, they're not selling any toys. I see Grogu everywhere.
Absolutely. And Mando himself, and I'm sure Boba Fett will have a resurgence, and it's all working very well for them now.
I've seen the Slave One in Lego form at the store. So
speaking of which, when we were at the Providence Place Mall, we went to the Lego store, we bought some Duplos, and then I saw the $220 Lego set of the NES with the Super Mario Brothers cartridge and the CRT TV, where if you crank it, he goes all the way through 1-1. And I was like, that is just so fucking cool. So I bought it. I had to. And Gloria was like, will you share your Nintendo Lego with me? Nintendo. And I said, yeah, I'll share it with you. And she's asked me now, this is how shitty of a dad I am. She has asked me 5 to 10 times, like, can we start opening it and putting it together? And I know how daunting and ridiculous it's going to be. And I never am in the mood to like start like to spill Legos everywhere and know that like we won't make all the progress we need to make. So I keep being like, would you rather go play Bucky O'Hare or something?
Yeah. Legos are interesting because my son got some Legos from his grandparents for Christmas. And we just opened them like the other day, and a lot of his toys he hasn't been very interested in, but Legos, he had me play with them all day. And I was like, there is just something so magical about these things. And maybe it's just like, cause they're just colorful, well-made. They like do what they're supposed to, you know?
Yeah. They're definitely enduring, you know, and they kind of got through that, like Zach, he's a Lego maniac period, you know, that like, very 80s period of Lego, but I don't know, man. Like I wasn't thrilled by them when I was a kid for whatever reason. I was like, they were okay. I had a bucket of them and I played with them, I guess, but I liked Lincoln Logs better, to be perfectly honest.
You're a Lincoln Log kid?
I'm a Lincoln Log boy.
Had some connects in Lincoln Logs.
Yeah, actually I did. I loved, or they had this, there was this one toy that probably nobody remembers called Zax, Z-A-X.
No.
And they were kind of like Kinects. They were like, I don't really know how to describe it. Like they had a, like, where they connected was at the edges, kind of like
Kinects. Yeah, yeah. I did have Kinects, and I did make the Ferris wheel, the big ass Ferris wheel.
That was pretty fucking cool. Yeah.
It was like so huge.
But it feels like I'm always, he's so huge.
He's so huge. It's like my Mike Matei's fake.
Just to put this to rest.
It's my Ferris wheel. All the green ruler next to it.
And you delete the hell out of it.
Almost like at our channel closed.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Like I got nothing against Lego, but at the same time, I've run into a lot of people who there's like a cult of personality around Lego. Like, did you know that he who plays with Lego is destined to become a billionaire? And I'm like, these things are a little expensive for what they are. And you're kind of playing right into their hand here.
But they are like, they're well made though. Like they have a feel of quality to them.
Yeah, I agree. And they do just kind of, they read fun. Like there was that level in Mario Land 2, the 6 golden coins, where it's like a Lego level for Mario. Oh, yeah. And it was like, just even just in a virtual environment, seeing Legos, I remember it made me excited. I think Nintendo and Lego goes together. They're sort of similar companies in some ways.
There is like a Mario Lego set, like he has an interactive figurine.
Yeah.
It looks like kind of, it doesn't actually look that great. Like even the designs of the sets, like they look pretty bare bones. It's like, it's mostly like the figure bouncing on things. I don't know. Doesn't look fun to me. I'd rather have like an elaborate Bowser's castle or something, like, you know, like very intricate detail, just have minifigs.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, we've been playing a lot of Mario 3D World, like a ton of it.
Oh, yeah.
She puts a controller in her hand and she jumps on Plessy, the dinosaur that swims, and she can get through the whole level. And she's like, you know, she knows how to jump on a pipe and use ZL to go down. And like, she can jump to the top of the flagpole. Like, it's pretty crazy. Nina can't believe it. She's like, because Nina feels like she can't do any of that shit.
Yeah. I want to share my screen for a second, maybe. I don't know. Let me see. Let me try to share screen. Oh, wait. Host disabled share screen. There we go. Boom. All right. So people who don't can't see, this is BS Zelda, or Zelda Third Quest, as this ROM is titled. I'm gonna lower that for a bit. You probably can't even hear the audio, but that's fine. This is a remake of the Legend of Zelda, the original Legend of Zelda, and in Super Nintendo. It was originally only released in Japan via a satellite. That satellite system,
the Satellaview.
And it was released in parts, and this ROM stitches together all those parts. It was kind of like DLC before DLC in a way.
And how does it play? Do you like it?
It plays just like the original Zelda, except it's like a third quest, and there's whole new levels.
It's like a Zelda All-Stars.
Yeah, it's, and like, I saw some speedrunner playing it, so I picked up the ROM, and I was like, it just scratched that itch. It was like, I need to play Zelda, and this is just a fun new way to do it. And
I've been watching a ton of YouTubers talk about, like, you know, hidden gems or best this and that, like, because I got thousands of games on this thing, and I'm like, you know, you need a little curation, and it's been helpful. There's like, I've been following a guy named Sega Lord X, who he's like just a big Sega guy, so he'll tell you about, like, you know, like, Sega CD is not a bad system. Like, it's not, you know, all of the full motion video stuff was shitty.
Yeah,
but they made a lot of kind of PlayStation-esque stuff too. That is, it, like, there's some really good like 2D side-scrolling stuff for Sega CD.
I think once I get this arcade all set up, I'm gonna try playing Sonic CD. I've never played Sonic CD.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, some people don't, but I love it.
So I think I'll try that, because that seems fun. I really just want to play old games that I haven't played before, and this was one of them. I'm gonna stop sharing my screen because it doesn't
matter. Yeah, no, it's very hypnotic.
It's you know me in trying to pay attention while I'm trying to do something. So stop share. All right, yeah. So that game has been, I actually beat it already, but it was one of those hidden gems I haven't played, and I recommend it if you have an emulation computer.
Totally. It's yeah.
And you these can things, I just Googled it and downloaded the ROM, so I don't know if I'm on a list now.
These things run the RetroPie, the emulator package is called RetroArch, and it runs all of the emulators you need. So like, you don't have to worry about like, oh, I'll open this emulator for this game and this emulator for that game. Mm-hmm. One thing that's a little bit annoying about, like, you, it didn't ship with Wi-Fi. And you can, over FTP, add more ROMs should you find yourself needing more games. But, like, the one I was shipped didn't have any Game Boy, for instance.
Would you have to, like, take out the memory card or something and put it in? Or what would you have to do?
You can't, because it's a Linux OS.
Oh.
And so you can't just throw it on a Windows machine and start putting ROMs in. There is a way to do it with a USB stick. What you do is you format the USB stick to FAT32. You connect it to you create a folder called RetroPie. You connect it to your RetroPie. You wait until it copies its file system structure to the USB stick. And then you go load the ROMs, and then you plug it back in, and it will transfer.
I see.
But it won't transfer with the nice, you know, like graphics and box art and video.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's just like an empty ROM. So it's not ideal, but the image this guy sent has it all as far as I'm concerned. Matt was over here for New Year's. We had a bunch of cookies and we watched the Big Fat Quiz of the Year, and he played through most of a game for NES called Totally Rad. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's like it's basically a Mega Man game. but it looked really cool actually. And he was pretty good at it. So I do enjoy, like, there is the missing element here is like people to come over and use them.
Yeah. And they seeing what their selections are and seeing games that you didn't have in childhood and
exactly.
people who mastered them.
Exactly.
The muscle memory coming back to them.
This card came with a few of the best ROM hacks. So I was playing through a bit of Mega Man in the Mushroom Kingdom, which is it's less dumb than it sounds. It really is just Mega Man. It's another Mega Man. It's somebody's new Mega Man game, but all the levels are based off of like Subcon or Mushroom Kingdom or, you know, Mario environments, basically. In other news, I threw out a billion shirts because due to weight loss.
Wow.
And
yay.
I threw
trash.
Out like five trash bags of shirts. And part of it was all the Red Cow merch. I was going to, like, I had a ton of it, like from the sweatshirts to, you know, they were all 2X. And I was like, what am I going to, like, I'm swimming in these now. Like, I officially, like, I've lost almost 90 pounds. I would look stupid, like, walking around in a 2X shirt. XL is still, like, it can, you know, it's, like, cozy for at home. But the 2X is just too big. So I'm, like, on the brink of throwing them out. And then I'm, like, you know, Amy Sader Brown had posted once about doing a shirt quilt. And I was, like, she has bought a lot of merch from what I can tell. And I was, like, we got to give Amy Sader Brown a chance in this life to do what she's made to do. And so I reached out and she was like, yes, send them. And so I sent everything. So we'll see what she comes up with. It should be fun.
That is really fun. I always enjoy the things she sent. I like the book she sent. I like the quilt she sent. So that, I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
I want to do a pod with her at some point. Cause she lost, I think, 100+ pounds as well.
Wow.
And I'd like to, maybe we can, as two former fatties, we can like weep and talk about stuff.
Hey, you know, might as well.
We have a fan. Do you remember Heather Holly? She was on a pretty early episode where she was in the car. Like through Canada. She ended up, she was diagnosed with cancer last year and she's in remission now, but she went through this big to do.
Wow.
And so, and she actually just sent us a big box of treats and stuff that I want to see that'll be in that pile. But yeah, I'm kind of open to like, maybe I could do some podcasts with people that have been through some shit lately. That might be fun. You know?
Yeah. You know,
tell me, you know,
do it.
Cause I'm kind of in like you lose 90 pounds. You can't help but be a little bit in like a motivational speaker kind of headspace. You feel kind of inspiring, you know?
There's this comic that I used to enjoy, Kyle Cease. And it's like, I feel like he was really good, but then all of a sudden he started doing like motivational speaking stuff and I'm like, oh.
That's my fate.
Like,
I mean, I don't think I could ever go all that saccharine with it, but I don't know. I there's a lot of excuse making in this fucking culture right now. And
true.
I like hearing about people who white knuckled through things and just, you know, made decisions to be better and then really did do it.
Yeah.
There's not enough of that going around. It's in some circles considered offensive. <You know? laughs> Yeah. Like, well, maybe you can do it, but don't talk like everybody can. It's like, no, fuck you. Yeah. Don't put that in the culture's head. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little better to be aspirational and do the things that you think you can do.
And on the topic of being psychotic about it, which I kind of am on a daily basis, right? I, I wake up, I try to work out for an hour, and then at lunchtime I work out for another hour. So at minimum, it's like 2 hours a day. And sometimes in the mornings, it's really hard to fit that in if I sleep a little longer than 6 a.m. If I get up at 6 a.m., I'm cool. Otherwise, you know, Nina and Gloria have to get out of the house at 8, and I got to be there to help with that process a little bit. So the timing can be tough. And this morning, this very morning as we record this, she had asked me to bring Gloria to school because she needed to go do something. So meanwhile, I've had a few late nights this week from work stuff, but last night was exceptional because my team was doing a network upgrade at midnight and they were supposed to be done around 12:30, but it actually ended up going until 3 a.m. And by about 1 o'clock, 1:15, I was like, these guys aren't close to being done. Now I could go to bed and trust them, I'm sure, but what if something goes catastrophic and they need somebody to communicate to the campus? Or what if something that requires a boss is needed here? Because the upgrade was going to take down the whole network, basically. You know, we're cutting off internet to the entire campus and to everything we host as well. So all of our websites and stuff. So it's got to be kind of surgical. So even if I laid my head back down, my heart rate would be pumping too much. I keep checking my phone to be like, any updates? How are things going? It's just the nature of IT work, unfortunately. Anybody who's listening that does IT work knows this. So I was like, well, it would be kind of hard. You know, if you end up staying up, you're going to end up sleeping in. You're not going to get the workout in. It's going to be tough to drag Gloria to work, to school. I said, if you're up and you're just stuck being up, why don't you go downstairs right now and just work out while these guys do this? And so at 1:15 in the morning until 3 a.m., I worked out.
Wow.
And I took a shower at three in the morning before going back to bed. And when I got back into bed, Nina was like, is everything okay? Like, were you downstairs working out? And I was like, yeah, it's fine. It's all part of my plan. I've never done anything like that before. So I slept a little bit before midnight. I slept obviously a little bit after 3 a.m., but I'm still kind of running on fumes here. And I'll try not to do that too often.
You've got a problem, but at least it's a good problem, right?
I think, you know, you hear about people replace addictive behavior with other addictions and stuff. Although for what it's worth, I'm not like thrilled to go work out. I'm not like, ooh, like an opportunity to go work out. It's more like I know that I have a quota that I'm trying to meet. And yeah. I'm always, it's kind of like editing. Like I'm always looking to fill that quota in the most time efficient way possible.
Yeah. I'm working on a brisket video myself. To me, I'm making giant pieces of meat. I don't know if I explained this on the show, but my concept was I saw this video by this famous barbecue pit master, Harry Sue, and he took a piece of Walmart brisket, like it's low quality brisket, and he like did all the competitive tricks, injecting it, putting his special rub on it, putting a little like a juice boat made of foil around it. And made it the best brisket he could be. And the concept of this video is I'm going to do the exact opposite and do like next to nothing. And so I'm going to be like he trims it a certain way. He does this and this. I'm just going to like take it out of the bag and put it in the smoker basically. And I don't know, kind of be like the perfectionist YouTuber, you know, like.
How much of it have you shot so far?
I've shot all of the B-roll of the like cooking of the brisket. I just have to, I wrote a bunch of it today, so I just have to finish writing it and shoot it and edit it. So
yeah, that'll be good. There hasn't been an EJ thing since Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Well, the unboxing.
The unboxing, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other video is the ginger beer video, which is mostly shot. But I'm going to do the barbecue one first because I feel like I need to put in some barbecue stuff every once in a while.
Yeah.
Just to keep the barbecue people happy.
Do we have a lot of them or a fair amount?
I think a fair amount. I think so. They tend to do better too than like general brewing. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
And then, and also, like, I could put, like, the Walmart branding in the thumbnail, and that might intrigue people, so.
Whatever brings them in, I guess. You know, we're looking for that NordVPN.
Yeah, let's NordVPN, we will become hollow husks of Red Cow for you.
I can't, it's so crazy. Somebody edited together one, because he had done Superman 64 in, like, 2009 or something. And then he did it again in 2016 and they edited it side by side. And you can hear most notably, because the jokes are actually all really similar. It's all about his energy level. It's all about what in the first video, he finds what he's doing exciting and funny. And in the second video, he's going through the paces.
Yeah.
So that's what you got to avoid. You can't, people will fucking smell it, man.
Yeah. Fortunately, I am very excited about this video and all the videos I'm doing.
Yeah, no, I'm normally pretty psyched. I mean, sometimes I'm not like when I'm staring down the barrel of, you know, like 500 gigs of shit that we shot. And I'm like, I got to do this by Sunday. You know, like that's not thrilling. But normally, I mean, I'm like every time there's a discovery, one time I put it as like, I'm always hoping that something unexpected will happen with whatever we're doing. Like, I mean, your turkey video is a good example of like, you know, something unexpected is bound to happen when you stick a cheeseburger into a turkey and cook it. And kind of the best unexpected thing happened, but it's the same thing with like, we go out on a Black Friday and we hope that John finds 100 Sears points or that he gets kicked out of a Best Buy or, you know, we just hope something unexpected happens.
Yeah. He's obsessed with like an LL Bean blanket or something.
I mean, or like the Halloween show, we went into it knowing that we were going to do Food Network parody, but I don't think we knew like both of us will be Southern.
No, that was a surprise when like we just started shooting. Yeah. I don't even think you knew John was gonna be Southern until like
I started laughing when he was doing it. I was like, oh, you're doing it too.
and then when you went back to the kitchen, you were normal accented.
Yeah, exactly. So that's to me like when I'm probably the most. I mean, there's the videos where they're very scripted and they're very plotted out, and those are exciting because you're like expressing something with a lot of precision. But the unscripted stuff, I think it's all about, like, I hope something really weird happens. Mm. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't really matter. Like, it struck me as odd when people were like, oh, too bad you didn't like the Mac. I'm like, who gives a fuck? Was it funny? Like, the eggnog Mac was ridiculous, you know?
Doesn't John have a idea for Pewtersmith soon?
Yeah, well, there was the banner that he talked about on our video. And, you know, printing a big like dot matrix.
Oh yeah.
And then he also got in a new Apple something or other that he wants to review. Maybe I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. It's funny about that printer thing. Like I remember those connected sheets and we tear off the holes on the side. And totally. Stuff like that.
That'll be fun.
I remember that was one of the things like in computer class, like, I don't know, the teacher would calculate pi on the Apple II and then print out all the digits and all that on those sheets of paper.
Oh, that's cool.
It's kind of, I don't know, it would wrap around the room or whatever. It was a waste of paper, but it was fun.
you should have made content when we were in elementary school. Like if something, something cool, you're like, oh, let's make a video about it. did I ever tell you, when I was in high school, I was shooting my first movie, I Need to Lose 10 Pounds, and I hadn't really gotten much of it underway yet. I shot maybe a scene or two. I didn't even really know what shooting a scene was. Like, every time we shot a scene, it felt like, oh, did I make the movie? So we did this one scene. We called it the classroom scene. And it was in a classroom where Miguel, the main fat character, the whole movie's about being a fat fuck. He runs into the classroom disheveled. He got there late. There's some absurdist comedy about how like he brought the wrong books and they're all Oprah books. And John made the Oprah books too. And then he's hungry. So he starts seeing everything as snack foods and then they make fun of him and he leaves. That's basically the whole thing. And we got my chemistry teacher to get in on it. And he was like, he's like a real straight laced chemistry guy. With this kind of like this, I don't know, this very like classical Massachusetts way of speaking, where like when Miguel had like a fantasy about what he was seeing, Mr. Hennessy was like, and it's not equal to a turkey sandwich. it's kind of a funny scene, but it's shot by 16-year-olds. And we were watching the raw of it in video class, me and a few other kids. And this one teacher saw us watching it and then he fucked off. This guy had it out for us. And then like, I was called to the office by like the guidance counselor. He was like, can we see the video, the footage that you shot? We need to see it right away. And I was like, I don't have it. Like this was like 2 days later. And he was like, well, you need to go home and go get it. So he made me drive home, go get the mini DV tape of the raw footage of this scene.
Wow.
And show it to, and then like he and like the principal and the vice principal and somebody else were like, all right, let's watch this. And I have, and then they were like, okay, it's fine. And they all left. And I can only imagine that it was because they were trying to figure out if it was like harassing or something. Like maybe they thought that we were shooting a documentary about like a real fat kid. I have no idea.
Oh, weird. I don't know. Yeah.
Why would you like, it just, it's such like a, I mean, I guess nowadays, like if we made like teehee, we spent a bunch of time with one of the employees, like making fun of fat kids.
True.
Like you would get in trouble, but
yeah, you'd be done.
Back then, it was like, it's not that bad. Bye.
it's just a movie made by kids.
And by the way, that very teacher who I think is the guy who reported it, he's such a little shit fitter on Facebook to this day.
he's just still narking on people,
narking on everybody. Fucking guy, lifelong narc.
I went to Catholic school, so we couldn't do anything. I once got demerits. It might have been demerits, which were like, I don't know, bullshit sad points, I guess. But I drew like a monster with like a sword, and there was a non-violence policy in the school. And you couldn't even draw a person holding. It wasn't using the sword. And I actually tried to argue that in the principal's office. Like, he's not even using the sword. He's not doing acts of violence, trying to be a lawyer, trying to nail the principal.
Did you actually get in trouble, or was that?
Yeah, I got like demerits? some demerits. I mean, it wasn't whatever. It's like elementary school. Yeah. It was like, you know me, I'm like, I've been straight laced like all my life. So it's like, it was like really big deal for me to get demerits.
This is incredible looking back on it. But when I was in like first grade, I had watched Raiders of the Lost Ark, and the villains in that are Nazis. And I had no idea that they were nonfiction, or, you know, that Nazis were real things. I thought that they were just like cartoon villains, like, you know, like the Foot Clan or something.
Yeah.
And so I drew on my art portfolio a whale getting shot down by a Nazi submarine with a swastika on it. And so there's a big swastika on the front of my art portfolio. And I think I still have it around here somewhere. We're like, holy shit. But nobody said anything back then. Everybody's like, they must have assumed, like, nowadays, what would happen? Truly, what would happen?
All right, I'll tell you a story. A couple of years ago, my hometown, somebody in the school track, like the track, they put a bunch of rocks in the shape of a swastika, and the whole town went nuts. And they were like, "Who could have done this? We have white nationalists in the town." And we were just like, "It was kids. It was kids who did it. They did it because they thought it was edgy and fun."
Right.
It's like, this isn't hard, dude. Yeah.
You're dealing with an 8-year-old edgelord. Throw him in jail.
It's like, I can't even tell you the amount of times, like, yeah, my friend Adam, like, drew the most obscene things in his notebook.
I mean, I suppose I do remember, like, by the time we got to middle school, high school, I remember, like, if there was any swastika, what do you call it? This is how fucking tired I am. You know, when you graffiti tag stuff or whatever, if there was anything vandalism, that's what I'm going for. If there was any swastika vandalism, they would call a big assembly and they would talk about how it was unacceptable and stuff. But that was, you know, I don't know. I guess that would have been by like 2000 or so. But in 91, yeah. It was, I guess, the Mrs. Doobie, the art teacher, was just like, oh, that's cool swastika.
Cool swastika. I saw the Raiders of the Lost Ark too.
Yeah. I really had no idea. It's pretty embarrassing. How did I know? I didn't know.
Far out.
I had no idea. But I do think if it was
history class,
if you made that mistake somehow, they probably would forgive the kid, but I think the parents would be in pretty big trouble for, like, how did you not teach them what this was?
The Holocaust never happened, so.
I mean, Indiana Jones is probably, how many people's introduction to, like, World War II and Nazis do you think Indiana Jones is?
I hope it's 100%.
It's probably a lot. I mean, although I don't know, I don't even know if kids watch Indiana Jones now.
No, I remember my nieces and nephews like watched it because I had the DVD around. But other than that, I don't know if they're exposed to it.
Yeah, they're going to make a fifth one. They're doing it.
They are.
Yes, they're making a fifth movie, and it's going to have
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. It's the last one, they say. We promise. And it's going to be directed by James Mangold, who did Logan.
Okay. Well,
so do you think it'll be like the depressing, like Johnny Cash Logan version of Indy?
I guess so. Is that what like Rambo Last Blood was?
I like Rambo Last Blood, but I don't think it was a good finale. Certainly. Yeah, I don't think it was a good finale. You need to give Rambo has an amazing first movie, and then he has a lot of not great movies after that. And like, yeah, he needs a Rocky Balboa, goddammit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Rocky Balboa is a fucking tight movie.
Yeah, I liked it at the time. Yeah. I don't remember a lot about it, but I remember liking it at the time.
I rewatched it, I don't know, half a year ago, and I was like, this is great. Like, the screenplay is amazing. Like, it's because they have to sell you this idea that it's perfectly reasonable for a 60-year-old to fight the champion of the world, like in a HBO big fight. And
yeah,
they work their ass off to make it plausible.
Yeah. I just remember, yeah, there's like a computer generation, right, of like Rocky fighting in his prime. Right.
But the main motivator is that the champion has horrible press. Like, his press team has fucked up his image completely. And his ego is also like constantly, he's always sabotaging his own reputation, but he's actually sort of a good guy. And so they come up with this thing where like, well, what if like you gave like a former boxer, somebody really beloved, like an opportunity, and you didn't like fuck him up, you just kind of were, you know, it showed that you were friends with this former boxer that already has all this affection. Like, so it's like a PR stunt that they do, but Rocky shows up with his fucking fists. And then, you know, and this character, this Mason character, is like, He's a champion who's never been tested. He's never had a good opponent before. And the 60-year-old guy shows up and like brings him through hell. And so he grows as a character too. And I mean, not to mention like there's a real kind of mental health thing going on in that movie where Rocky has almost nothing to live for because his wife died. And so but he's like a nonviolent, very kind of kind person, but there is an aggression about him. There is like a kind of darkness about this character. I mean, he started off as like, he broke thumbs for a loan shark, you know, in the first movie. And his sport of choice is a pretty violent one. And he also seems to take a beating really well. So there's kind of like a cool, interesting sadness about like, the way I'll deal with this pain is to like go get beat up some more and maybe beat the other guy up some. But there's also, it's obviously inspirational. You know how I feel about Rocky movies. I think that everything you need to know about life is somewhere in a Rocky movie. You don't need
it. Hey man, I agree. I have always enjoyed them. Besides like the latest one was like or Creed 2 was okay.
Creed 2 is the only movie in the 8 movie run that I'm like, this is, I don't get this. I don't understand why this movie exists.
Yeah.
It's the only one.
There's like some moments in it that are good, but it's pretty flat.
I think all of them, the rest of them, even 5, like have a place. Creed 1 is pretty damn good. But Rocky, yeah, Creed 2 felt like we better make a sequel to Creed 1. Whereas like, yeah, Rocky 1, you know, it'll go down in history. Rocky 2, it's like almost as good as the first one. Super good sequel. Everything about it makes sense. Rocky 3 takes the character to a totally new place. He's like, it's all about like ego and fame and what do you do with newfound success? What do you do after you've already climbed Mount Olympus? Like, who are you after that? The fourth one is about like basically walking. It's about walking through hell. It's about like, you know, and I actually love the sort of sci-fi element of it, where I heard that originally the idea was just to have him fight a big, hairy, ridiculous Russian. And then Dolph Lundgren auditioned and they were like, oh, wait, like maybe the whole thing is that he's like the boxer of the future. Maybe he's like he's almost cybernetic. Like he was built chemically with steroids and he was, you know, and he's and Rocky, of course, is this like ham and egger fighter. Yeah. And that'll just be interesting. Just that alone. Like, so
it's literally like working out in the snowy tundra. And
yeah. This like science versus nature thing that the movie ends up doing. That movie, for as cheesy and kind of ridiculous and over the top and of its time as it is, I think it's extremely cinematic. I think it has some really good enduring ideas. I don't think Rocky IV is the joke that it's been made out to be. I think it's actually a really good fucking movie. I think if you decide, you know what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to sit down and stare at Rocky IV for an hour and a half, you're going to like, that is going to be money well spent.
I agree completely. I actually really like Rocky IV. It's just,
we got to see that recut of it. Where's that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Then Rocky V, I think is kind of it's like a boring episode of a good show. it basically fits. It basically works. It did not work as a finale. That's the thing. It's like, it was at one time the last movie, and that's unacceptable.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
But if it's a middle shitty episode, it's actually fine. It basically works for me. There's some good Burgess Meredith stuff in it. He did that right before he died. In real life, he did some flashbacks. Rocky Balboa, obviously amazing, and Creed One takes the thing to another kind of really depressed. That is one issue I do have with Creed 1 is they take Rocky to a really depressed place in the sixth one, and then they kind of resolve him out of it. Not completely, but they, by the end of that movie, they've resolved it. And they do that kind of that Force Awakens thing where then you go to the sequel and like, oh, all the shit that we resolved in the last movie, yeah, it just like fell apart between movies.
Yeah.
That like bums me out a little bit, where I'm like, don't do that to me. Don't be like, yeah, well, I guess we were lying to you in the last movie.
Yeah. That sequel trilogy is trash.
That's one of the, I think, like, before even Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker fell to pieces, the big, one of my big issues with Force Awakens was like, so you didn't build off of what the last movies were? You were like, oh, everybody's back to their starting places. I was like, that's so shitty.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing to see, like, you're telling me, like, you're going to show me Han Solo 30 years or 40 years from now. Like, he should be somewhat unrecognizable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't be in the same like leather jacket or whatever. And like doing the same smuggling business. It's like,
all right. JJ really sucks ass, doesn't he?
Like, you could think of like, yeah, like nobody who is in their like 20s is the same as they're in their 60s. He should be like, I don't know, like a delegate or something, you know, like he should be somewhere else.
Because that's the thing that would make it. So it, like, to me, one of the failures of Return of the Jedi is that Han Solo and Chewie weren't in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon leading the charge against the Empire. Yeah. Because that's the ultimate 3-movie arc, is like he goes from this pirate that decides at the last minute to help out to the guy leading the rebellion. Like, that would be really cool. But essentially, that's where they got him anyway. And in the sequel trilogy, you could have gone further with that and be like, no, this guy is, yeah, he's like a major player in the New Republic.
Yeah.
Not that he's, we ever got to learn.
He's vice president. He's president on Air Force One. Get off my plane.
Get off of it. I don't get Harrison Ford. He's kind of like Bill Murray, right? Where like everybody loves him, but like he might be kind of fucked up and annoying.
Yeah. I don't get him. I get Han Solo. I don't get Harrison Ford.
Yeah, he there was
always like crashing planes and getting injured.
Oh. There was an article about him that I came across where, you know, the thing where he played a ghost in Rise of Skywalker, but it wasn't clear if it was a Force ghost or if it was like a memory or what, because they didn't explain most things in the movie. I guess USA Today, around press time when that movie came out, asked Harrison himself, were you a Force ghost or what? And Harrison's response was, a Force ghost? I don't know what a Force ghost is. And he said, don't tell anyone. I'm not talking loud enough for your recorder. I have no fucking idea what a Force ghost is, and I don't care.
I mean, you got to kind of like that, right?
That's pretty funny. Don't tell anybody. I don't care what a Force ghost is. How about that?
I'm like, all this Star Wars shit means nothing to me.
I would think 45 years in, you'd at least figure out what a Force ghost was. You don't like need to know.
He's not going to be next to what Ernie Hudson at the Ghostbusters convention. He's not going to ever do that.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Ernie Hudson probably knows way too much about Ghostbusters.
he's not going to be there. He's just going to be an actor who does his thing, goes home and sleeps.
My lights just went out. So now you're in the dark, but, Maybe I could show you my rope lights.
Yeah, do it. Throw some of my arcing ropes.
Can you see them? No.
Oh, there they are. They're beautiful. If you are not watching this, there's arcing ropes.
It's the arcing ropes channel again.
There's ropes around his arcade, and they look very good. Very illuminated.
But maybe that's the place to stop.
Yeah. Sounds good. If your lights are turning off on you.
Well, you enjoy your arcade and send us pictures.
Yeah, I will eventually. It's going to take a while because I have a lot of things to clean.
Right.
But I think it's going to be, the problem is, so I'm technically unemployed, but I'm doing work with my father-in-law with his machine shop. So if you can imagine me greasy, wearing like a leather apron, working on machine parts. Like just dirt in my fingernails. It's really strange because I have like baby soft hands.
How do you like it? How do you like for once in your life doing like salt of the earth work?
It's kind of nice in a way because you don't have to think at all. You have to think, at first because you have to learn how to do it. And like, I've never seen machines before or worked with my hands. So, so you got to learn that and get made fun of by your blue collar father-in-law. But once you get into the motion, yeah, it's kind of nice. It's almost like meditation where you're just, doing the thing.
Sometimes I wonder, because my dad is extremely blue collar. He was a fisherman and then he worked in hydraulics engineering for the rest of his life. He's a hydraulics mechanic. And I'm just, I'm like his soft-handed son, I suppose, with media creation or whatever it is I do, data center IT. And I've always wondered, like, there's got to be some like Irish in my blood, right? Where like, would I enjoy life on a fishing boat? I think probably.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, and you get tired. You get so tired by the end of the day because you're working with your body the whole day standing. Right. So then you get home, you're just like dead.
You get in good shape, I bet.
We'll see. it's different work. And then I get home and I don't really feel like cleaning out my basement to build those arcades. So
right.
We'll see. We'll see how fast this goes.
All right, sir. We'll have a good weekend.
You too.